This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. Thank you so very much. I'm talking to you. Yeah, you, my favorite listener. Thank you for tuning in today. I definitely appreciate you taking the time. All right, folks. Well, hey, it's been a great, exciting weekend here. Back to Monday, back to the old grind. Got a little late start today. We'll talk about that here in a couple minutes. But please check out the Beekeeping for Newbies homepage. Got lots of links on there to cool, fun, exciting things. YouTube.com/@Beekeeping for Newbies. We got the Pinterest thing up and running with about 20 plus posts over there pointing to the blog over on bestbeekeepinggear.com, trying to create a happy little ecosystem of bee happiness and love for all of you. So yesterday I was excited. I got down to the property and man, it was so nice down there. It was just quiet and I had things I needed to do and I had this list of tasks and I wanted to stay on task and stay focused. And I saw this big, like, 25-inch pine log, and I was like, I think it's time to sit down and take it all in. So I sat down for about a half hour and just listened to a lot of nothing, which was really cool. The birds are chirping, wind blowing through the breeze, you know, wind blowing through the trees, and God, it was just so nice. I didn't want to do anything. But I tell you, those spring gnats, man, we get these gnats. I'm not sure where they start and end, like geographically, where you have them and where you don't. But ever since I got that property, the first time I went there in the spring, the like right March through like, I don't know, maybe mid-May, late May, just all these gnats. So I got this little net that I keep in the truck and just throw that on and that takes care of that. But man, it was so beautiful yesterday and really nice to just hang out and relax a little bit. Oh, forgot to mention, today's warm-up song is brought to you by Matchbox 20, 3 a.m., So anyway, while I was there, I was able to go ahead and hang a swarm trap on a tree that I had caught one on last year. On another tree, I had one that I had left there for a year, which was a really bad idea. It's all made of OSB, and OSB doesn't handle the weather really well. It wasn't even painted. I made it, threw it up real quick, and just left it there. But overall, it's in pretty good shape. I went ahead and pulled that one off, got it cleaned up, found a big old I can't think of what it's called, some kind of a skink, like a lizard kind of thing in there eating roaches, which was kind of cool. I caught a video of that. I replaced that with another one. So now I've got two swarm traps up down there at the property. I'm going to take a third one down there in the next couple of days. So I got that all taken care of. And man, I didn't want to leave I was wishing I had like a tent or that cabin I wanted to build. But anyway, so today I am at the house. I'm getting all my notes ready, getting everything prepped for, you know, today's discussion and a few other things I have going on in the bee world. And I thought, oh, you know, I've got that battery. I pulled the battery out of the small excavator, and I thought, you know, I'm going to go grab the battery out of the truck and put it on the charger. I'm walking across my yard, my driveway area, and I look over the swarm trap, and there's like 15, 20 bees like all around the swarm trap, and I'm thinking like, uh-oh, it's consensus time. They're thinking about it. Let me go fire up the live stream. So I come inside, fire up the live stream, got that going, and then it just drops off. There's just no more bee. There's like one or two coming in every now and then. I'm like, what just happened? So I waited like 20, 30 minutes. I'm like, well, I guess it's just not going to happen today. But it was good because I was able to find a couple of bugs in my system. Long story short, if you ever do like a long distance camera yourself over IP, I was using a Wi-Fi extender And then from that, I had a Cat 6 Ethernet cable going into a switch with a power over Ethernet, you know, PoE injector to power the camera. All of the end of it was fine. All of the front of it was fine. But that Wi-Fi extender was not a good idea. It did not maintain a consistent enough connection. The connection kept dropping on the live stream. So I just went to power line adapters. I bought a pair of them on Amazon for $35. And just TP-Link, you know, 500 megabit. That's more than enough for this purpose. So if you ever do that, that's a better way to go than trying to do it over those Wi-Fi extenders. Just a little bit of a little fun fact there. So anyway, I go through a little bit of some diagnostics and get that all done. And I thought, well, let me just go outside and take a look and see if I see any more activity. I step out my door, probably, I don't know, 60 feet from my door is a big, huge, old, kind of half-dying cedar tree. And up about 30, 40 feet in the air, there's just this big, massive, loud swarm. So I did post a video of that today. It's up in, it's a short, it's like 10 seconds short. But it was on the tree that was like 30 or 40 feet away from the pill bottle swarm trap, which did not appear to be as appealing to them as the hole in the tree. So I get that. But I was so frustrated because I drove by my neighbor's beehive the other day. I looked over and it wasn't that hot. And there were a ton of bees outside. It was bearding. And I'm like, oh boy, things are going to get cooking here soon. I was hoping to catch that one, but it didn't happen. But we'll keep our eyes open. It's still a little bit early in the swarm season, I think, for this area. And there's lots of bees around here. So we'll track them down. We'll catch one, and we'll just try to keep that camera on the ready. All right, let's jump in here and talk about moving bees to a new location. The reason I wanted to bring this up is there's a lot of bee movement taking place right now. We have package bees being picked up at the post office or at, you know, various suppliers. We have nucleus colonies being picked up and taken home. We have hives being moved in people's yards, being moved from one location to another. So we're just going to take a few minutes and we'll run through all these different things around bee movement, good, bad, you know, things to consider. And hopefully you guys will have some of these questions answered and you'll be equipped to tackle these tasks as they come your way here in the coming season. So what we'll do is we'll start off with kind of just a generic, you know, discussion of the range of honeybees, how far they go. We'll go into a few scenarios and then we'll wrap everything up. People will typically tell you that a colony of bees has a range around 5 miles. Now, sometimes that really may be limited to 2 or 3 miles. Sometimes it could be a little bit further, probably not a whole lot. You know, it's a ballpark. But if there is good forage nearby and they don't have to travel as far, they're probably going to collect a lot more. They can make, you know, shorter and more frequent trips than bees that are in a area that has kind of sparse forage and they have to, you know, be gone a lot longer and use a lot more energy to forage and to gather new resources. So a lot of this range is going to be specific to your area and, you know, again, forage availability. But they are definitely willing to travel further for better food sources or better quality, more nutrient-rich, nutrient-dense types of types of plants and trees and things. But we'll just stick with 5 miles for the sake of this discussion. Now, the one thing you might remember from last week's discussion in the bee behavior episode, once bees come outside the hive as a forager the first time and they do their orientation flight, you know, that route back home gets hard-coded into their brain. So they can be out and about, and then they're like, okay, I'm good. It's time to go home. And they may want to go to your home where you are now, and then you moved a mile down the road, and they just go, I think home is over here, and they will move themselves back over to the old home. Now, some people will tell you that, oh, it's okay. If you move a hive from one location to another, you can just put some debris and some sticks and things in front of the hive, and that will force them to reorient, and you can kind of reprogram that internal setting. Now, I personally have not had such luck. I have lost bees. I know for a fact that it did not work for me. But, you know, it's like everything else in beekeeping, right? Just because it doesn't work for one person doesn't mean it won't work for you. Just because it did work for one beekeeper doesn't mean it will work for someone else. So if that works for you, by all means, do it. I didn't have a lot of luck with it, as was indicated by the thousands of bees hanging off the fence of the house I moved out of when I left. But getting past that locked in, how to get home, you know, kind of mindset it's not going to be a particularly easy thing. But I want to talk to you about why that's not necessarily the biggest deal in the world, or it's not really the end of the world. I don't like to lose bees. I don't want bees to die. I don't want bees to be homeless. So let's talk about that last part of this first. Bees can drift to other colonies. They're very good at finding resources, finding out where other colonies might be if they were going to potentially rob them. But they can also find other colonies and just be like, hey, how you doing? Do you need a hand? And they can make new friends and go help out. There's a difference between a bee that shows up and wants to help and a bee that shows up and is trying to attack and steal. So that's part one. They may be able to find another home. Not always. Sometimes they don't. But they may very likely just find another home. The other part is, think about the lifespan of a forager. I mean, you're looking at probably somewhere between 6 or 7, maybe as much as 14 days. So if you averaged out 10 to 12 days, that bee is being replaced. The plan to replace that bee is already, you know, that's already moving forward. When you look at a queen laying somewhere between, depending on your queen, how old she is, how productive she is, what numbers you want to listen to, but somewhere between that 1,200 to 2,000 eggs a day, let's say you lost 1,000 bees per colony when you moved two colonies. That's not even a day's worth of egg laying, right? You're going to have, now you do have attrition, right? I mean, at the peak of the season, when you have a whole lot of bees, you have a lot more bees to lose as well. So instead of your normal 250 to 300, you might be losing 650, 700. But still, you're getting more than 2 to 1 if she's laying 1,500 a day. You're replacing twice as many as you're losing. So, you know, so you're still coming out net positive on that. Now, the effect on the, you know, the remaining surviving members is there's less forager, you know, pheromone being put out. Bees within the hive say, hey, you know what, we need more foragers. We're going to have to graduate up a little bit earlier. And that happens, and they move up, and then there are more young, new nurse bees behind them emerging from capped brood, and the cycle just continues on. So again, while it is unfortunate to lose bees, they're bees that are going to be gone in, you know, a week and a half anyway. And, you know, it's the time of year that, well, I, and that's where I would say I recommend doing these types of things at times of year when they can easily recover. So if you needed to make a colony move, you know, I recommend doing it when you see that time when you're like, ooh, man, I might need to do a split or make a nuke from this colony or something like that. That might be a good time to go ahead and plan your move, because you're going to lose a few bees anyway with that move. And then, you know, you're still going to get plenty of replacement. So let's run through a couple of scenarios here, and we'll just go through them all. I think I've got about 6 of them here. A friend of yours in the neighborhood, they're 2 miles away, and they're like, hey, I don't want to keep bees anymore. They're healthy. I treat them for Varroa. They're good to go. But I want you to just take the whole thing. Take the hive, the bees. I want all of it gone. So I'll break this into 2 pieces. Part one is going to be the how I gently move the bees. And then part two is going to be kind of the effects on the colony from the move. So part one, I have these old couch cushions. Like we had the couch cushions where you have like the zipper and you unzip it and you pop out this big thick thing of foam. I saved a bunch of that when we threw away our last couch. And that has been so great for moving bees, because I can put it in the bed of a truck, backseat of a vehicle, whatever I want to do, and then strap it down. And you're not getting as much vibration. I mean, imagine being a colony of bees. Imagine holding like a nuke box in your hand and just like vibrating it back and forth and shaking it. The bees are going to go crazy. That's going to drive them insane with that constant vibration. But putting them on that padded, you know, old couch cushion that I use, they seem to tolerate it pretty well. So that's just one thing I do. But also there's the option of traveling with them. I'm talking about like in the bed of a truck. Like I said, you can do it in the backseat of the car as well, but I'll put a nuke, you know, up front riding shotgun with me, or in the backseat, just put the seatbelt on them. And I'm not even trying to be funny with that. Like, just put a seatbelt around them to kind of hold them in place. What I do recommend, particularly for newer beekeepers, if you're dealing with the packages or nukes or whatever, they have these mesh nets. And I think I've linked them out of the Discord room. If you have trouble tracking one down, just shoot me a message and I will, I'll get you a link. It's a nice mesh bag. It allows plenty of airflow in and out, and you can close it up completely. And a couple of bees are going to get out of whatever you bring home, or there's going to be a couple of them that are going to be outside of the closed in container that are just holding on like, nope, this is my family. I'm not leaving. And they will hang out outside that, you know, the outside of that container. This bag really allows you to provide just an extra layer of protection for yourself. So if you're not comfortable with having a couple of bees getting out, it wouldn't be the worst idea to go ahead and put them in one of those bags. As far as temperature goes, I like to kind of tell people, like, keep it to a temperature that's comfortable for you. So if you're in your car and you got the temperature set at like 70, that's probably going to be fine for the bees. They're already, you know, in a little cluster in a package of bees, or they're already inside of a nuke. So everything is, you know, they're fine. They're going to be okay. Where you can run into challenges is when you say, oh, well, I want to get them into a nice airtight container so they don't have too much air blowing on them, and then they overheat. Or you put them in the bed of a truck and you're going down the road, they get really hot or they get too cold. You know, you do want to be very mindful of not only their temperature, but the temperature of their brood that they are trying to regulate as well. It's much more difficult for them to regulate when you're going 60 miles an hour with a package of bees in the bed of a truck. That's really hard. Now, obviously, they don't have brood in that scenario, but generally regulating temperature when there's a lot of excess air flowing in and out can be a little bit challenging for them. Put them in the car with you, or put them in the back in a way that they don't get too much airflow, but they do have enough air so that they are breathing. Just keep it to where it's kind of comfortable. Like I said, comfortable for you should be fine for them. But in this 2 miles down the road scenario, put them in the bed of the truck, the car, wherever you want to put them in the bag, do what you got to do. Secure them, though. That's critically, critically important. So if you're using like a nuke box with a, you know, migratory lid, put a couple ratchet straps on that. Have a primary and a secondary. This is one of those where it's pretty good to have a backup, because just driving down the road is not going to make the lid fall off. If you have a fender bender, you can have that entire lid come off and now they're angry. If you have a more serious accident, God forbid, you know, now the situation is much worse. I show up as a first responder and I'm like, hey, I'd like to help you, man. I don't know what you got in there with you with those bugs, but it's not happening today. Right. I mean, the first thing a first responder is going to be concerned about if they're doing their job is their own personal safety. They're not going to be super pumped and excited to pull you out of that thing when there's bees flying all over. So secure it. Even if you're going a short distance, it doesn't take much to have a, you know, an accident that could crack that hive open. You just don't want to have to contend with that on top of the already, you know, bad situation with the accident. So you get this colony home, you get them set up where you want them, open everything up, you're done. That's it. You put them where you want them, open them up, and let them go to work. You're going to lose foragers. It's 2 miles away. Now, you may not lose all of them. I mean, it's 2 miles. Maybe they were only foraging out to 2.5 or 3 or 3.5 miles. Or maybe some of those foragers that are going back, well, maybe they're the older ones who've had time to fly further away. Maybe some of the younger and newer ones have only traveled a half mile or a mile away. I'm not worried about that, right? If you said you were going 200 yards, quarter of a mile, half mile, I'm more concerned with that because that's really their home range. That's where they just came from. But 2 miles away, yeah, you're going to lose some, not a big deal. So the next scenario is 10 miles. You're going 10 miles away. So nothing else changes. Everything that you did in the 2 mile scenario is the same. Now you shouldn't lose any foragers because you're well outside the range. Business as usual, right? Nothing different to do. Same thing if it was 200 miles away. Now the difference to me, though, as you get further away, I really need you to pay more attention to the driving conditions, the weather, and all these things. Do what you can to minimize excessive vibration. If you have to put them in the back of a vehicle, having a cover over them is a good idea, but you don't want it to be like an airtight cover. You don't want them to overheat. You don't want the road heat to come up and that convective heat to kind of push up through the bottom of the vehicle and start kind of cooking them in the bottom of the, you know, bed of the truck. Again, just keep it to a temperature that's comfortable for you. And if you do, let's say you're part of like a bee club and you're going to go 200 miles away and get 20 packages of bees for everybody, that's fine. Stack them all up in the bed of the truck. Put some things in there with them to fill the void spaces so you don't have them sliding all over the place and falling down. You know, maybe ratchet strap them together in different groups. Pull a tarp over them, or, you know, ideally like a mesh type of tarp that allows some air to go through and kind of keeps them in as well. But put something over them that gives them some coverage over the top. So if it does start pouring down rain, most of that just kind of, you know, rolls off and ends up going, you know, out the back of the truck. You just got to provide protection from things that are going to put them in positions of excess. You don't want them to be excessively hot, excessively cool, just in the middle. If you have to pick up on days that are really cold for some reason, and we've had a lot of that. A lot of people have messaged in the Discord room and emailed and had a lot of discussions around this where someone's like, hey, man, I'm supposed to pick up my bees tomorrow. It's going to be 36 degrees. That's okay. Pick them up. You know, just put them into some kind of a bag, a pillowcase or whatever. Carry them from the facility you're purchasing them from and just go to your car. Keep them in the car with you and then put them in some place inside your house, in a cool, you know, closet. the garage might be okay. You know, it depends on how cold your garage gets at night. But, you know, a garage that's going to be in the 50s or 60s, that's fine. You know, put them in the garage for a day or two, spray them down with some sugar syrup, and, you know, nothing wrong with that. Now, another scenario I wanted to throw at you is a little bit of a different one. This is one that someone had brought up a couple years ago, but I think it makes sense to talk about today. Someone had messaged and they're like, hey, I don't think it was a pool party. I think it was just a birthday party. I don't remember exactly, but it doesn't matter. Pool party, birthday party, whatever. They said, hey, look, we got a bunch of kids coming over. We're going to have this pool party. And, you know, a few people have expressed some concerns about the bees. You know, what do you recommend? Like, should we move them like to the corner of the yard? Or, you know, like, what do you think? This is what I would tell you to do in that exact scenario. At like anywhere after probably, let's say, 9 p.m., we're talking about my experience here, like in the Northern Hemisphere. You know, that might be different for you. Like, I know when I was a kid, I was out in North Dakota during the summer. It didn't get dark until like 10:45 p.m. or something like that. So take about an hour after dark. Or if you'd like to get up earlier, early riser, you know, get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, get up a good hour or so before sunrise. Use some hardware cloth or some other kind of method to block the entrance. Now, I like the hardware cloth because, again, air can come in and out. But whatever you got to do, block the entrance to the hive. And now let's say that this was like a brand new colony. You just set these up and you forgot, oh my gosh, next week we have that, you know, that pool party. Make sure you put a feeder in there with them because you don't, you know, if you close them up for 24 hours and they've got no feed, they're running on internally stored resources. They're not building out new comb. They're not continuing to get things ramped up. So make sure you've got a feeder inside the hive. If they've got a feeder in the hive and they've already gathered some pollen, they've got the resources they need to keep working. You don't want to close them up and have a complete shutdown in production because of your pool party. So get a feeder in there, close everything up, leave them closed up for the entire day. If the party ends at, you know, 7 p.m. or whatever, feel free to open them up, you know, at 7 p.m. or open it up, you know, at 9 o'clock that night after it gets dark, whatever you want to do. But open them back up, you know, before you go to bed. That way, next morning they wake up and they can go out and get back to business as usual. That's the way that I would recommend handling that. Now, another common scenario that people have brought up in the past is, so I thought I had the perfect location in my yard for my bees. And we got everything set up and it was going great. And then about halfway through the season, I realized that this is terrible. There's all kinds of whatever is happening here and it's just not good. My neighbors can see it and they're complaining about it. I want to move it to the other side of the property. There's going to be a few different ways that I would call like textbook ways that people will tell you to move it. There's the old thing. I think it was like 5 inches or 5 miles. I have done this before where I had a hive. And I lifted the whole thing up and moved it like 3 or 4 inches. And then like 2 days later, I lifted up and moved it 3 or 4 inches, 2 or 3 days later. And I literally did this until, you know, 2 months later, the hive was like 60 feet away or whatever it was. It is very time consuming. It does work. And it's funny. I mentioned this in a previous episode, but it's really funny to change the entrance on the bees. If you like to like mess with your bees a little bit, it's kind of like messing with Sasquatch. Like if you like to mess with your bees, like, just do that. Well, like have an entrance that's in one place and just flip it around and make it to the other side. And they just get all bent out of shape with it. But maybe you don't like to bully your bees the way I do. But that would be like the textbook way of doing it. Incrementally, you know, separated by a few days every time. That's kind of the right way to do it. It minimizes forager loss. A couple other maybe textbook suggestions of ways to do it would be, well, wait until the end of the season. And it gets to be like, let's say it gets cold where the bees aren't flying anymore in your area, let's say in November. In November, go ahead and pick up the whole colony and just walk it over to where you want the new, you know, the new colony to be or where the new location for that colony to be. You do that. Now, all the bees you have at that point, you may have some straggling foragers still. You're going to have some older bees left behind. That's just the way it's going to be. You're going to have a few older ones. They're going to be the very first ones to die throughout the winter. But all of your winter bees are in there, and probably 90% of them have never been outside. They don't know anything about the outside. So you can go ahead and make that move then, and the older ones who would have died first anyway are still going to die first. If they happen to leave on a warm day, they may not come back, but they were probably going to be dead in a couple weeks anyway. Now, the one that I think is always the fun way to do it is the move, catch, and release method. This is where you just go ahead and move them from point A to point B, And then you go back and forth every couple of days. Like you put a nuke or something back in the old location and the foragers come back to it. And then you take that nuke and you go and you release them, dump them back into the old hive again. And then you put the nuke back. And then the next day they come back again. And you keep playing that game. You can do that if you want. It brings absolutely no value to anything. If you have foragers coming back to an empty hive, they're not bringing resources back to anything. It'll make you feel better that you're saving their lives. And they go inside and they're like, oh, cool. It's home. It's good to be back again. Hey, let me go get some more stuff. And they leave and they don't come back again. So, you know, it's good to feel like you're not harming bees, but the reality is you're still losing bees. I'm at a point, I think, now where I just pick them up and move them. If I have to make a move, I do. Now, I'm fortunate that I do have property. It's, you know, like about 70 miles away. But I can take, let's say I did a split here today. I did, you know, a split of like four different colonies. I can just take the four splits, put them into, you know, nukes, take them down the road, have them down there, and just leave them down there for a couple of weeks. And then bring them back home. And now nobody has ever been here before and everything's fine. You know, there's a lot of different ways you can do things. You can leverage maybe a friend. If you have a friend who's 5 or 10 miles away, you can say, hey, look, do you mind if I drop this beehive off in your backyard for a week and a half? By the time you go pick it up and bring it back and put them back in wherever you need them to be, any of those old foragers, they're already gone. So I'm kind of racking my brain here because there's always a lot of different scenarios that people come up with around you know, things they can do. But if you have an activity taking place in your yard and you're concerned, close the bees up, use some hardware cloth. We got hardware cloth. We have a shopping list in the Discord room of different things that you may come across or may need. But you can go in there and grab the hardware cloth link, buy some of that. It's just number 8 hardware cloth. It's, you know, one little square every eight. I'm sorry, it's 8 little squares for every inch. And I think it's 8 over and 8 high. So 64 little squares for every inch. That's all you need. Plenty of air goes through. Those mesh bags are really nice. I've never actually used them. It's funny because as you spend more time in beekeeping, you care less and less about the things you thought were really important. You know, like as a new beekeeper, you're like, man, I haven't been stung by a bee since I was a kid. I'm really not looking forward to that. And I get it. It's going to happen, but I get it. After a while, you're like, yeah, I just throw the nuke in the back of my car, you know, whatever. It's just, you know you're going to get stung at some point. You know it doesn't matter if there's 10 or 20 bees hanging out outside the container. The worst thing is like you're driving down the road and they're up on the windshield and you're like, hey, come on, man, get out of the way, get out. And they start buzzing around. You're like, come on, you're distracting me. But you won't care about that kind of stuff after a couple of years. But those mesh bags, I think that's a really worthwhile investment for a new beekeeper. And I think we've even got some pictures in our Discord room. We've had a previous member over there who was driving down the road in her full bee suit. So that's always, you know, a fun picture to share if you want to share those of you rolling down the road in full beekeeping attire. I have done that myself, so I completely understand that. Well, I hope we covered everything. If you have a question, if I missed something, if there is a scenario that you can think of that we didn't really cover that is probably a good idea, you know, jump in the Discord room, let us know, shoot me an email, whatever works for you there. Again, it's just beekeepingfornewbies.com. You get your swarm trap plans, your nuke plans, some other documentation and things we have there. We got the bestbeekeepinggear.com site. I'm trying to get, you know, 5 or 10 new articles posted every week, and it's pretty time consuming, but it's still fun. Like it's different kind of bee work, but it's still fun bee work. But yeah, so check that out. And one last admin note that I wanted to throw your way that I just thought of this. If you join the Discord room, I recently made a bit of a change to things. What you need to do is, I used to have like a generic kind of terms of service. Like if you want to sign up, here's kind of the rules of the road, no big deal. I've changed all the permissions on everything now to basically where if you're brand new, you're going to see one room, like one channel, and it's going to say like, read this first. You need to go in there and just read like what the rules are. Just type in yes, Y-E-S, enter. As soon as I see that, I will change your permissions and you'll be able to see everything. But I just want to make sure now that we're getting to a point as it gets larger and larger, I just want to put something out there so that everybody kind of knows, you know, what the rules are to make sure we're being mindful of other people's, you know, things that are important to people. We're trying not, nobody there is trying to offend anyone or hurt anybody's feelings or anything like that. I just want people to know like, hey, here's the rules, you know, don't do anything silly and kind of keep your head about you. All right, everybody, that's all I got for you. Take care, be kind to one another. Remember that I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. We'll talk to you soon.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.